Hello everyone, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining us once again today. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Again, it's crossandthrone.com. And our phone number 847-312-4676. And again, I want to welcome our new listeners in Indianapolis and in Peoria at our new time there. And for the rest of you down in Mississippi and Tupelo and Huntsville, Alabama, and Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Memphis, Tennessee, and in Illinois there, and Michigan, California, and South Carolina, welcome to all of you. I've been down to many of these cities and have had meetings with some of the folks there, and we appreciate them. And again, to my friends in Amarillo, Texas, we have a great group there, and we love you guys, and we thank God for you. This program is brought to you by those who believe in this message, and if you want to help this, keep this program on the air, we'd appreciate any help we can get from the dear ones who are concerned with this message. Well, today we're going to talk about life, calling, and prize. I know yesterday I talked about Christ being four things unto us. Today we're going to talk about three things: life, calling, and prize. So, I want to look at this right now. This ministry has a threefold purpose here at Cross and Throne. Most of the churches of today have just one message, and that message is salvation. They seem to think that salvation is the end or goal that man should seek. But salvation is just the beginning. Let me repeat that. Salvation is just the beginning, or we would like to say justification. We do not go out and seek a job just for the position it will give us. We seek the job for the employment and wages it will furnish. It is reward that we're seeking when we get a job. Now let's look at these three items: life, calling, and prize. Now, life has to do with our bad works and how we get life because we're sinners. Calling is something that's not of works, and our prize is something we work out. So first of all, let's look at life, getting life. Again, we pointed out life looks back, and salvation, meaning the obtaining of eternal life, is the first step. Okay, so let's talk about life. We sometimes use terms like salvation, but this is what we mean by life. It's the initial salvation when a believer first puts his trust in the living God and the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So salvation, meaning the obtaining of eternal life, is the first step. This is obtained by the acceptance by faith of the finished work, the one sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ for sin. That's how life is obtained. Romans talks about a justification of life, or a justification that gives life. The Gospel of John talks about those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, have life through his name. This is the beginning. This, of course, means the acceptance of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. This action is not possible until one realizes that without Christ, he is a ruined sinner worthy not only of death, and that there is nothing that he can do to better his condition. So you must recognize first that you're ruined. You're deserving of death. You're going to die. You're headed to a grave, and you can't do anything about it. That's the first place God brings a man when God deals with him. I believe that it's really the first step. And if you haven't gotten to the place where you realize you're a sinner and that you're headed to a grave and you deserve it, you haven't started out right. There is no salvation, there's no justification until first you realize your condition. A doctor, before he presents a cure, first tells you the problem. When you go to a doctor's office, the doctor doesn't tell you if you have cancer. He doesn't say, you know what, I examine you, but you know what, think positive, everything is A-okay with you. No, that's not how the gospel works. First of all, in Romans, for instance, you take the first three chapters, and the first thing God does is indict us. He points out our sin. For what reason? Because he wants to show us the cure. Just like a doctor says, you know what, you got cancer, and here's what you got to do to remedy it. Or, you know, you go to a doctor, and he says, you got whatever problem it is, he shows you, here's what's wrong with you, and then he gives you his solution. Well, thank God, though, that his solution for the sin problem is 100% effective. and does not require insurance, and it doesn't require a stimulus package. It's free. Salvation is the gift of God, and it's free. And let me repeat that. Salvation is a gift of God. Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Let me repeat it again. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." And it's not of yourselves. It's not of yourselves. Salvation is not of you. It's God's gift to you. And so salvation is a gift of God. Life and righteousness is God's gift to you. And this is the first thing we present in this ministry. We want to show people that life is a gift of God, that man in himself is a sinful creature. He deserves death, and the penalty for sin is death. God told Adam that dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Man is heading for a grave. And if you live without Christ, you're no better than a beast that perishes. For more information, read the 49th Psalm. But if you're a believer, you have life in Christ and you're justified, and that means you have hope of a resurrection. Those who die without Christ have no hope. They leave this world without hope, and that's no way to live. But those who believe in Christ, those who have the living God as their hope, have a hope of a resurrection. And this is what distinguishes Christianity from all other religions. All the religions teach some form of afterlife. Well, you go somewhere when you die, but Christianity teaches resurrection. There is no hope for you apart from Christ. If you die, God has to raise you from the dead. And that means that when you die, if God doesn't do anything after that, you, my friend, will perish. But God will do something. He is the one who gives life. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Christ is the one who is the resurrection and the life, and it's in him we obtain life. And so that's the first thing. We have the one of the great things we want to present here at Cross and Throne Ministries is life. That's the message of salvation to the unbeliever. Now, number two, let's talk about calling. Let's talk about a calling. The next step after salvation is a calling. Okay? Now, salvation looks back to the cross of Calvary. It looks back to what our condition was and how God remedied it. But here, calling looks forward, and it deals with our present walk as we look forward to this calling that we have. So the next step after salvation is calling. Today, this calling is to become members of the church, which is the body of Christ. The hope of the calling is to be with Christ in glory. The calling and its hope are inseparable. This calling and this hope are accepted by faith. Now, I want you to be very careful here, and I'm going to bring up something here that maybe some of you might get nervous, but I'm going to say it anyways. I believe today that there are many people that believe that God is their Father and Christ is their Savior, but they have not believed and accepted the hope laid out in Paul's letters, especially Ephesians. And the point is that God will not give to you something you do not believe in. If you do not have faith in it, God can't give it to you. Ignorance is deadly in the scriptures. And there is such we're living in a day, and I'm trying to be careful here and as kind as possible. We're living in a day where ignorance is gloried in. People, you know, almost glory in the fact that they're dumb. But listen, God gave you a Bible, and it's to be read and believed. Now, you may have life and a hope of a resurrection, but friends, do you know your position in the member as a member of the body of Christ? Many of you out there today spend all your time in the Gospels and say, well, we have the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments. Well, friends, the Sermon on the Mount and the Ten Commandments is not the hope or the teaching for the body of Christ today. The Sermon on the Mount, which is the Ten Commandments on steroids, presents a hope on earth. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But Paul's epistles talk about a citizenship in heaven. So some of you are claiming the hope of Matthew 5, and instead of going on and believing the hope or call and calling laid out for you in Paul's letters. And these got to be received by faith. And so you may be a believer today, but have you accepted the place in the body of Christ? I hope you have. And we teach here on this program, we're emphasizing Paul's message And the first step is we want you to believe. We want you to obtain salvation, that is, obtain life. Secondly, we want to show you the hope of his calling as laid out in Paul's letters, especially Ephesians. And we want you to receive that by faith. Don't be satisfied with just bare salvation. So many say, I just know that God loves me and Christ died for me. That's great. But friend, you want to go on. You want to take all that God has laid out in his word for you. And Paul's letters are laid open for you to be studied and accepted by faith. And so, remember this, if this is accepted by faith, it presupposes knowledge. The knowledge comes by the word of God. Now, not many have this knowledge, as we pointed out. They're too busy with the things of the world. They cannot receive by faith something of which they know nothing. And that's why, of course, in 1 Corinthians, Paul said he could not make known to the Corinthians the deeper things connected with Christ in glory and the body of Christ, because they were too busy glorying in men and their teachers. And also in Ephesians 1, Paul has to pray for knowledge regarding this hope. Paul prays that he would give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Paul doesn't pray that with regards to obtaining of eternal life, because eternal life is something that is gotten by believing certain facts concerning the work of Christ. But in Ephesians, Paul, when it comes to the calling of the members of the body of Christ, it requires prayer and understanding into these things. Now, please don't take the words I just said and take them out of context, but prove what we've said. Well, first we've talked about life, then we talked about calling. Now let's talk about prize. The third step follows the second. It is the striving for a crown or the running for a prize. It is working in the calling for a reward. Are you in the body of Christ? Great, you have obtained that by faith. Now work in that calling so you can obtain a prize. Paul said he was looking for a prize. Not only is this reward called a crown and a prize, but it is also the privilege of reigning with the Lord after enduring suffering with him. It is going on unto perfection. So to sum up what we just said, now we can expand on that third one that we just said a lot, but I'm going to let you do the homework. First of all, let's sum up. Number one, life. That's obtained by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Number two, calling. That's obtained by faith, and it's accepted by faith. And know what your calling is. For further information, read Ephesians. And number three, striving for a crown and running for a prize. For further information, read Philippians. See, we're not going to do all the work for you here. We would like you to obtain these things for yourself. And this is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining us. Our web address is crossandthrone.com. Our phone number, 847-312-4676. If you want to meet with us down in your area, we'd be happy to meet with you. We do some traveling and teach these things in small classes and homes and other places as well. Give us a call. We'd be happy to come and visit with you if you can get some people together to study these great teachings from the Word of God. And if you want to help support this program, we would appreciate it. If you believe in this message and want to see it continue to go out in all these different states and in the Internet, and we get emails from all over the world, actually, from those who listen on the air. Thank you for joining us. This is Dan Sheridan. Rejoice in the Lord.